Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge was elaborately described. And also, when the Lord sat down on the throne, after having killed Hiranyakashipu, the Lord's form at that time was also described. It was certainly very, very fearsome. People are afraid nowadays of Dracula or whatever. They go to see horror things. I think in London there is a horror. We were passing by some place and we saw where people pay to be horrified. They pay to become scared. But if that is horror, then you can well imagine how fearsome the form of Lord Narasimhadev was. Actually, we can't imagine. It's terrifying beyond measure. Such was the form that Hiranyakashipu saw in front of him. And even the demigods, as we have seen earlier, were so terrified that they couldn't approach the Lord. They stayed far away. And eventually they persuaded. They didn't have to persuade, actually. They just gently asked Prahlad to move forward. And Prahlad's reaction was that he was completely fearless. And he says this now to the Lord, that I'm not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue. I'm not afraid of your bright red eyes, like to be completely liberated. So Prahlad is feeling like that, completely fearless. Towards the end of this chapter, Prahlad is going to echo a similar sentiment when he says, Naivo dvije paraduratyaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamritamagna chitta shocheta to vimukha chetasa indriyartha bharam maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudham. Thank you, Kalyapani Prabhu. Maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudham. So Prahlad says, Na udvije, I am not scared of this terrible material existence, which is very, very fearsome for everyone. Vaitarani. Vaitarani is the a river that divides the material world and the spiritual world. So I'm not at all afraid of this material world, even though everyone finds it very terrifying. And what is the reason for that? Magna chittaha, because my mind is absorbed. Tvad virya gayana mahamrita. In the songs or in the glorification of your lordship, which is like nectar. Mahamrita. On the contrary, I only have one lamentation. Shoche. And that is for those who are averse to you. Shoche tata. Vimukha. Those who have turned their backs to you. Indriyartha, for the sake of sense gratification, which gives maya sukha as death or as something very, very fearsome. Another example that Prabhupada gives here in the purport is that of the fish in the ocean. For those of us who have been out at mid-sea in a typhoon or a cyclone or a hurricane, we know how fearsome the ocean can be. And what to speak of the power of the ocean, even the power of a river in flood, Prabhupada explains, can even sweep away mighty elephants. But a tiny fish swims up current against the current of the water. And in the sea as well, even though everything is so turbulent, there are mighty waves and fierce winds blowing, but the fish fearlessly swims within the waters. So what is the reason for that? The reason is, Srila Prabhupada explains, shelter. The cub has taken shelter of the lioness, and therefore the lioness affords or gives protection. Similarly, the fish has taken shelter of the ocean, therefore the ocean gives protection. Similarly, the pure devotees of the Lord, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord gives all kinds of protection. One of the 64 qualities of the Supreme Lord that Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in the Nectar of Devotion is that he is a protector of surrendered souls. And he gives an example that there was a particular enemy of Krishna who became quite enlivened and fearless at the very thought that if he surrendered to Krishna, Krishna would protect him. So even though he was Krishna's enemy, but understanding Krishna's quality as one who protects surrendered souls, he became fearless. And conversely, as far as devotees are concerned, Rupa Goswami mentioned is surrender, and in the process of that surrender, one actually gets protection and shelter. Srila Jiva Goswami says that the word sharana has two components or two aspects to it. One is protection and the other is shelter, ashraya. And protection means raksha. So for one who surrenders to the Supreme Lord, there is protection and there is shelter. So the word for shelter in Sanskrit is ashraya. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 topics have been identified. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanamutayah manvantareshanu katha nirodho muktir ashrayah. So there is sarga, there is a process of creation of the elements and the other phenomena, or the like the tanmatras and so on, that are created before Brahma is born, before the universes are created. Then there is visarga, which is the creation by Brahma. Sthanam, which means the maintenance of the universes once they have been created. Poshanam means the favoring of the devotees by the Lord, who is very kind upon the devotees. Utayaha, Uti refers to the creative impetus. Manvantara refers to the laws made by Manu for regulating the lives of the human beings in this world, of the living entities. Ishanukatha refers to the descriptions of the various incarnations of the Lord. Nirodhaha means the process of winding up the material creation. Just like a spider creates a web, leaves it on for some time and then winds it up again, the Supreme Lord creates the material world, sustains it, and then winds it up. So the process of winding up is called Nirodhaha. Then there is Mukti, the 9th topic, which means liberation from all gross and subtle conceptions, everyone. So in all of Srimad Bhagavatam and in all of existence, basically, there are just two principles. There's the Ashrita Tattva, the dependent principle, and the Ashraya Tattva, the principle or the person that gives shelter to everyone. So all the other nine, the first nine principles of that are explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam are dependent. Only Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is completely independent. And it is He alone who is worthy of taking shelter. Devarshi Bhutaptaninam Pitranam Nakinkaro Nayam Rinicha Rajan Sarvatmanayah Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihrityakartam. Again, in this famous verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the nine Yogendras explain to King Nimi that even though there are many obligations that human beings have in this world upon taking birth, they have obligations to the demigods, to the sages, to the human beings, to the relatives, and to one's sons and children and so on. If one simply takes shelter of Krishna, then one is absolved of all these obligations and debts. Gato mukundam parihritya kartam. If one gives up all the occupations of varnashrama dharma and goes to Mukunda, the Lord Krishna, and takes shelter of Him utterly, sharanam, of sharanyam, then one is freed from these obligations. So there is sharanam, sharanyam. Sharanyam means He who is worthy of taking shelter, and that is Krishna. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then automatically we become free from all obligations, from all anxieties, from all fear, because He is the shelter-giving principle. Everything else needs shelter. It is only Krishna who is His own shelter. Svashraya Ashraya, the Bhagavatam says. He who is His own shelter. He doesn't need anyone else's shelter. So this is the principle. Prahlad Maharaj has taken shelter of the ultimate shelter-giving principle, Krishna. And he's experiencing complete peace, complete protection, complete solace. So in this world, we all, Prabhupada, they were able to give shelter to so many. Because they were representing Krishna, because they themselves had taken, especially our process is to take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. Namashraya Kuri, He has come here to teach the world how to take shelter of Him through the holy names. And when we take shelter by chanting with great devotion and feeling, then we feel immediate relief. Prahlad's prayers here are very, very instructive for all of us. They are not ordinary poems composed by an ordinary poet. They derive from the spiritual energy. Srila Prabhupada explains in connection to Dhruva Maharaj's prayers that a five-year-old boy like Dhruva cannot possibly ordinarily compose exquisite poetry, whether in glorification of the Lord or otherwise. A five-year-old child is generally considered quite immature and incapable of such literary accomplishments. But Dhruva Maharaj's prayers were wonderful. The same principle applies to Prahlad, who was also only 5 years old when he was offering these prayers. And these were spontaneous outpourings of devotion. It's not that Prahlad, you know, sat down in his room and then he composed these poems and then he cut and he corrected his poems again, and he, like any ordinary writer would do, and then he memorized it, and then he came here and recited it in front of the Lord. It wasn't like that. It was just a spontaneous outpouring of his devotion. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. We have some time for questions or comments.